Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, this is Saturday night, June 10th, 2017. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Well, on tonight, my guest each and every second Saturday is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to be coming forth very shortly, sharing a poem with us, and then also he's going to be delivering the word on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners at this time, if you would please get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so you can follow along with the man of God as he brings and delivers God's word on tonight. But as we always do, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners if you would go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come once again to say thank you for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who and all that you are, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come asking in Jesus' name that if you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, and then I also ask that for my entire family, and also for Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, Heavenly Father, so that our prayers and so that the word that is being spoken through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight would not be hindered, that it would accomplish everything that you set forth to do on tonight. And, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, while we are praying, we want to lift up all those that may be listening by airway or by telephone on tonight through this worldwide platform that do not have a personal relationship with your son, Jesus Christ, who are not saved in his name. It is our hope and it's our prayer that something will be said on tonight through Deacon Cox on tonight through your word that it would touch their hearts, that they would be able to surrender, and they would yield and open their own mouths and confess the Lord Jesus Christ on tonight, and ask that they would be saved in his name, so that they would know their God purpose, they would walk in it and live in their God purpose and fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory, is our prayer in Jesus' name on tonight. Heavenly Father, we come now and lift up all those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that are bereaved right now. We come in a special way lifting up Brother Clifton and Sister Loretta Buchanan and the loss of their daughter, Darlene Buchanan, and her son, Sean. Continue to bless and strengthen that entire family. Not only that family, but all those that are going through the hour of bereavement right now at this time, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to comfort and strengthen their hearts, their minds, and spirits. Let them feel your love. Let them feel your presence. Let them know that you're with them, because you said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us, even in our time of bereavement, because we can cast all of our cares upon you, even our cares of in the loss of loved ones. We can cast all of our cares upon you, because you care for us. So we pray, Lord, that you be just moved by your spirit in the lives of those that are suffering from the loss of loved ones on tonight, all over the land, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that we are duty-bound to pray for, those that are behind prison bars, those that are incarcerated for just and unjust reasons, those that are in nursing homes and homeless shelters and women's battered shelters. We just lift up in juvenile detention centers. We just lift up everyone to you, Heavenly Father, because you made us all. And we thank you because you know who we are and you know where we are at all times. So we just thank you again, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this another day that you have made. We thank you for this worldwide platform that we're able to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and to the edifying of the souls, Heavenly Father, for the body of Christ, that it can be built up, strengthened, and edified on tonight. And our main prayer on tonight, that someone that is not saved will be saved on tonight, because we know that you still are saving souls, and we know that it's your desire that no souls be lost. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase us and have your way. Continue to bless the listeners and continue to bless all bishops and pastors and shepherds, Heavenly Father, that you have anointed and appointed for such a time as this, who are truly standing on your word and being doers of your word without hidden motives and agendas. Continue to bless them, their families, and the ministries that you have placed them over for your glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, on tonight, amen. We do have another spiritual food for thought on tonight. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us, and it is very simple, and it lets us know, and it reminds us, again, the spiritual food for thought is a reminder on tonight that Bible class is to learn about Christian life. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought is letting us know as a reminder that Bible class is to learn about Christian life. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassadors-vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Again, my guest tonight, and he comes to us every second Saturday, Deacon Marvin Cox. Again, he's going to come forth. He's going to share a poem with us first, and then after he shares his poem with the listening audience, I am going to do a musical selection. And following my musical selection, after he read share his poem with us, after I do my musical selection, I'm going to yield the mic directly over to Deacon Marvin Cox. At the end of my musical selection, he can go straight into the word. So right now I'm asking all listeners, please make sure you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready so you can take notes and follow along with the man of God as he delivers God's word. So Deacon Marvin Cox, would you please share with the worldwide listeners the poem that you have for us on tonight?
Amen. I just thank God once again for this opportunity to bring forth his word. And this is very special tonight because the institution of marriage and relationships is not as God will have it to be. And in order for us to have good relationships, first of all with God, then our spouses, then our families, we must learn to move ourselves out of the way. We must stop being selfish. And Lord gave me the inspiration for this, and this is specifically for relationships. And it says, he won't give up, she won't give in. He won't give up, she won't give in. So they go through the same problems over and over again. She won't give up, she won't give in, he won't give up. So they both keep drinking from that same bitter cup. Each one thinking that they are right. No room for compromise. So they argue and fight. Not with fists, but with the words that they use. But this is an argument that they both will lose. He won't give up because he thinks that it's weak. She tries an old tactic. Now she refuses to speak. Little do they know of the harm that they do, or the trials and tribulations that they put each other through, the accusations and insecurities that they may feel, some of it imagined, some of it real. So they vainly go on searching for some explanation for these disturbing, lonely moods of quiet desperation. For they tune each other out when they don't like what the other say. But the answer is just a listen away. They stop listening with their head and start listening with their heart. It will bring us all together and not drive us apart. For our pride is a tool that Satan used as a wedge to separate us and push us over the edge. Over the edge of reason, into the valley of doubt, into the sea of forgetfulness of what our love is about. So stubbornness sometimes leads to rage, which will take us off of the same page. So turn it over to God, and please don't wait. He will solve your problems, and God won't hesitate. Amen.
Praise the Lord on tonight for the reading of that wonderful poem that we need to stand on as married couples, as we are, as families. We need to stand on that you just read, that poem, an excellent poem for such a time as this. So right now I'm going to play for you all a short musical selection, Glory to His Name. And following this musical selection, I'm going to yield the mic directly over to Dick and Marvin Cox at the conclusion of my musical selection. He's going to come straight back to you all, bringing the Word of God on tonight. So I do pray that you have Bibles, pens, and paper ready so you can follow along with the man of God on tonight. Again, tonight's song that I'm going to be playing is Glory to His Name. Enjoy. Thank you. Lord Deacon Marvin Cox, you can bring the word.
Amen. Okay, I thank God for once again for this opportunity to bring forth his word. I won't tarry before you long. We have a wonderful word, as the word, God's word always is wonderful. It's so instructional, it's informative, it heals us, and it gives us a perspective on Christianity that sometimes we get away from. Now, tonight's topic is we're going to talk about the wilderness. And then we're going to go into the purpose of the wilderness. And I'm going to come from basically two books. I'll be reading from Deuteronomy, and then I'll be reading from in the book of Matthew. Now, as I say, the wilderness is a place that is designed for us to, we must go through, each and every last one of us must go through the wilderness, because the wilderness is a proving ground. The wilderness is what is known as a place where you can detoxify yourself. And I'm going to read to you from the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read the first down through the fourth verse. But our emphasis will be in those in between verses. Then it says, and it reads, and I'm reading to you from the King James Version of God's Word. It said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward as hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, if we are familiar with the Bible, we know that in chapter 3 that the Lord was baptized, and the Spirit of God came down and it descended upon him like a dove. And the word says that this is my Son whom I'm very well pleased. Hear ye him. So God commissioned the Lord immediately or straightway to go into the wilderness. to go and to cleanse himself. And don't get me wrong now, we know that this is the Son of God. But we know that the Lord was operating in the flesh at this particular time. And sometimes while we operating in the flesh, then the temptation of the world will come upon us. The temptation of the world will try to overtake us. And so it said that he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. He was a hungry. And so as we go through life, we know that fasting is a detoxification process that cleanses our body of impurities, that sharpens our mind, that heals our body. And this is something that is necessary in order for us to do what it is that God will have us to do. Now, a lot of us go through life without having this proper cleansing, without having this proper detoxification. Sometimes we wonder why we are not progressing in the way in which we should. And so I want to point out something to you. It said afterwards, he was hungry. It's the word says hungry, but we know that it means that he was hungry. And the tempter, as Satan does sometimes, he will put it out there to you so that you will prove to him, or he wants you to prove to him that you are who you say you are. And so he challenged the Lord, say, if thou be the Son of God, make make these stones into bread. Now, as I said earlier, the purpose of the wilderness is to prove. The purpose of the wilderness is to humble and also to know what is in thine heart. So it is through this process of this purification that we go through. And also it says to know if you would keep God's commandments or not. So this is like an extreme test that we go through sometimes when God, he already knows in advance. But I say that wilderness is a test. It's an attack on my humanity, because all those things of the flesh is going to come forward. All those things of the flesh is going to present themselves. All of those things that is close around my heart is going to come to me in such a way. And as Satan was saying to the Lord, say, if. Now, imagine that for a minute. Now, you already know who you are. You know what position you hold in the Lord. But somebody will come along and say, if you the Son of God, you will do this. If you the Son of God, you will do that. You're going to get a challenge from somebody that is trying to make you prove that you who you say you are. But this, for the humbleness, comes through. See, they wanted God, they wanted the Lord to use Satan. The tempter wanted the Lord to use his miraculous power. Because there's nothing worse in the world when one is hungry, when their body is starving for nutrients that has been replaced, for nutrients that we are so adjusted to reaching out and having on a daily basis. So, and the demon is putting it to us in such a way. He's quoting the scripture here. He said, it is written that man should not live by, I mean, he's telling the Lord to say, but the Lord is responding to him. He said, it is written. Wait a minute now. So the Lord is letting him know, okay, we got a new diet going on here. We got a new understanding going on here, that I'm not going to allow you to knock me off my square, as some people do, not the Lord, but as we do to each other, constantly set out. Because, see, if I already know the word, then as any courtroom lawyer will do, they will constantly try to look for loopholes that will bring you to a different conclusion. So I'm going to move back here to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and the 2nd verse. And it reads, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou keepest his commandment or not." So we're looking at these three things: to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what is in thy heart. So sometimes we don't respond to things unless we pushed all the way to the limit, unless there is no other alternative, or unless there is no other choice but us to respond in that type of way. So the Lord is responding, and the wilderness is calling. The wilderness is telling us, don't pay no attention to that. There's no need to fast. There's no need to cleanse. There's no reason for us to go through this process. And I tell you, fasting is a very painful process. It's a very painful procedure, because your body is defying all the things that we have taught it. It's getting rid of all the impurity, all of the toxins. Your blood pressure decreases. All in your body begin to work in such a way that your clarity of your mind becomes great. Your sharpness of thought kicks in. Your body begins to heal itself. Even old wounds that you had that you thought was healed, the body begins to work that tissue, and it works that tissue in such a way that it becomes painful. It becomes extremely painful. But ask me, it's worth it. If you've been on a fast, you know how sometimes it's a struggle. So we're going to go back to Matthew, where the Lord said, "It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So we know that when the children of Israel, and as I say, I'm bouncing back and forth, we know that when the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, that there was times when the livestock and the things that was prepared for them was not available. But God put us on a new diet. It's called manna. He gave us the bread from heaven. And over in Luke, the 4th chapter, it says, what that, John? It says the same thing that it backs me up. It says that we have meat that your father knows, I mean that our fathers know not of. So we're talking about that spiritual diet. We're not talking about bread, so we could focus on the bread, but we're not looking at the source of the bread. And this is how we get confused sometimes. We want things, and we program ourselves that this is the only way that it could be, that if I have it this way. But the Lord is letting each and every last one of us know that man does not. While you're in that wilderness, people are going to do everything that they can to entice you. Men, women are going to be looking better than they ever looked in their life. Women, it's going to be the same thing. And it's going back to this poem, it's not the time to give in. It's not the time to give up on what it is that the Lord will have you to do. Because sometimes when we run that marathon, we got to overcome the psychological effect of our body rejecting what we put it through. And so what does it do? It leads us to quit. It leads us to stop short. It leads us to, in a direction that we don't accomplish what we set out to accomplish. Now, when the children of Israel, when they were delivered from Pharaoh, God knew that they were not prepared to go into the promised land. So 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness. 40 years they did not prove themselves. They proved themselves to be worse than what they were before they left. They still proved themselves to be liars. They still proved themselves to be blasphemers. They proved themselves to be adulterers. So they did not allow themselves to be burnished in that fire. And so we know that only Joshua and a few more people made it to the promised land. Now, how many of us have been languishing for many, many years with the same situation? How they say we're having that wilderness moment. And we're having that moment in such a way that it seems like we're not accomplishing anything. It seems like we're taking one step forward and three steps backward. It seems like we're stuck in neutral. It seems like we're not able to accomplish nothing in a positive way. Why? Because we haven't learned how to navigate ourselves out of the wilderness. Now, we're going to go back to Matthew, and we're going to go to the fifth verse of the fourth chapter of Matthew, after the Lord had told Satan. Okay, so this was the first rebuke right here that the Lord gave to Satan when he told him, said, wait a minute, I don't care what you say. I'm just paraphrasing here. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to submit myself unto the lust of my flesh. Of course I'm hungry, but what you're offering me up and what you're telling me to do, you're telling me to violate the rules and the regulations that my father sent me out here to prove that it can be done. And see, one thing about God's word that I love, he will bring you to task. He sent the Son in the flesh to show each and every last one of us and all his ambassadors. He sent them in the flesh to show us that what he's asking for us is not impossible. You know, that's why a lot of times we cannot relate to the old saints and the patriarchs of old, because we say that's physically impossible. But we know that the mindset of God's people, we know that these people that were in the flesh, they had to overcome quite a bit in order to prove to us, to show us that it can be done. And I'm a true believer that I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. I would rather for a person to set out that example for me. I'd rather for that person to take me by the hand and show me, to illustrate to me, to bring it to . So we must sometimes find ourselves listening to what thus saith the Lord. Got to allow those demonstrations to come forth in such a way that people know that that brother was incapable of doing that. But thanks be to God. You know, thanks be to God. God sends his ambassadors out there to do, to show us, to set that example, to set that spiritual example. So the Lord is setting that spiritual example. Let Satan know, the tempter know, that I'm not going to allow you that knocked me off my square. I'm not going to let you violate the ordinance that I have with my Father. So we have to continuously press forward for that high mark, which is Christ Jesus. We have to continuously resist. We have to continuously do what it is that the Lord will have us to do. And as I say, moving on to verse number 5, it reads, "Then the devil took them up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee." Okay, I'm going to just stop right there. Now, as most people do, they take God's word out of context. They take his word in such a way that they use it for their own purpose. They use it, as I say, as a spiritual loophole. And right now is not the time, but now we've got to stay in that wilderness. We have to graduate from that wilderness. We have to do all the things that is necessary in order for us to be proven. It's just like any other assignment. We become probationary employees, even though our potential is great. We become, until that time that we are called forth by God to he'd say, "Our servant, well done." So now is the time for each and every last one of us. Okay, now let me go back. Okay, we're on verse number 5. So he took him up to a seated high place and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee." And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou foot shall be cast against a stone. As I was saying, sometimes people bring things so far out of context. Now, and this is letting each and every last one of us know that Satan knows God's word just as much as we do. He's familiar with it. He don't live it at all, but he knows it. So we go over here to Psalms 91 and 11 and 91 and 12. And this is what God's word is saying. Okay, so if I were to summarize it, the tempter was telling the Lord, "Jump off of this building. Jump off, you know, right now. God's angels will save you. They're not going to let any hurt, harm, nor danger to befall you." Now, but that's not what God's word is saying. That's what Satan is saying. And it's a half-truth. It's a half-truth. The Lord is just letting each and every last one of us know up under these circumstances that, hold on, I'm moving there as fast as I can. Just bear with me momentarily. Yeah, just bear with me for one brief moment at a time. Well, until I could get to it, God's word is letting each and every last one of us know that we are, that the Lord is protected by the angels. But see, Satan was asking the Lord to commit suicide. Say, "Man, jump off this building. God's angels ain't going to let nothing happen to you." But we got to be extra careful when it comes down to these things. We cannot allow ourselves to get caught up into this foolery. How some people say, well, hey, you know, we go into things foolishly, and the first thing we say is, foolishly said, I'm not worried about it because God got my back. I'm not worried about it because God is going to take care of me. Now, as I say, Psalms 91 and 11 and 12, it reads, it says, and he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Then shalt thou tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known thy name. Now, what God's word is letting each and every last one of us know, what it's saying to me, is that when we go into areas that we're not familiar with, when we go into areas that might be insecure, but we're going into these areas that God sent us to, then we know that he's not going to allow no any hurt, harm, nor danger to befall us. Because a lot of times if we are doing these things, and we're doing these things on our own, then in a sense we're daring God to allow these things to happen to us. So this must be part of my assignment so that I could go forth in his name and do the things that we have for me to do. So as I was saying, Satan, he was talking and he would bring forth God's word out of context. He was saying, Lord, you can do this, but it's no need in anyone being foolhardy in the things we do, like crossing a busy street and say, I know the Lord got my back. Well, if you make it to the emergency room, good for you. But some of us want it with that mindset, and we haven't lived anything, or we're still in the wilderness. We have not proved ourselves. We have not humbled ourselves. We have not, and the Lord don't know what is in our hearts. You know, to know what's in my heart, we have to move the impurities from your heart. In order to know, and if you notice how the gold miners used to do, they used to take the little mining thing and they used to shake it around and shake it around, and then all the impurities, and they put it in the water, and all the impurities would be washed out, but then that one little nugget of gold would be in the bottom of their mining pan. So we must allow ourselves to be careful. We must allow ourselves to be mindful each and every day of what lies before us and what lies ahead of us and what is lying in wait. And God is the only one that can bring that to our attention, because a lot of situations we go in blind, a lot of situations we will not consult with God. But I see I'm out here in this wilderness for a reason. You out in the wilderness for a reason. Take 40 years for the children of Israel to totally submit themselves unto what it is that God wanted them to do. But they did not humble themselves. They became even more arrogant. They did not prove themselves. They proved themselves to be those same people. They did not want to make a change. You got to want to make a change when you go into that wilderness. You got to have it in your heart. You got to be on one accord with God. But see, the Lord, when he went into the wilderness and when he fasted and when his mind was clear and when his body began to attack him because he was hungry, because he was in the flesh, even though we know that he's the Son of God and he was not going to do anything that would cause him to sin. So that wilderness, my brothers and sisters, is beckoning. So we have assignment, or we have task number three. And this is after the tempter told him to jump off from the pinnacle of the temple. Jesus said it to him. It is written again. So wait a minute. Now hold on. This is not the first time that you have heard this. This is not the first time that this topic has came up. It is written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So, if I were to summarize it up, what we should tell people, I'm going to just speak this in the flesh, is that we should tell people, look, I suggest that you get on out of my face with that foolishness that you talk. That you talk. And it's not truly real what you're saying. It's just a figment of your imagination. This is something that you want me to do. You want me to lose my humbleness. You want me to use these powers that God has given me in the spirit when God wants me to deal with this in the flesh. Said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we must learn to tame the flesh. Again, the devil taking him up into an exceedingly high mountain. Okay, even went up higher this time. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And says to him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, let's say, when I first began to talk concerning God's word, it says that the purpose of being in the wilderness was to do what? To humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart, and to know if thou would keep God's commandments or not. Okay, well, over there in Exodus, God is letting each and every last one of us know that between the first and the 20th verse, that thou should not have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth. Or thou shalt not do this. God's letting us know that nobody comes before him. And here we got Satan, we got the tempter, who is telling us, wait a minute, hold on. Bow down before me. And it's just like you already have possession of something. Now, it would be kind of funny if somebody said, hey, and if somebody's going to give you your own car, they're going to give you already got this house, but people stand outside your house and say, hey, you can have this house. But God's word said that all of these things are his, the cattle on the thousand hills, the fullness thereof, and them that dwell in, all the inhabitants of the earth. But if you notice what the tempter was doing, he said, hey, if you bow down, if you submit yourself, then you could have all these things. But see, sometimes a lot of things we already have, and we don't really concentrate on, I already got that. Because why? The excitement of it at that time causes us to get amnesia. It causes us to want what we already got. So, and from his high vantage point, he could see all the kingdoms of the world. From his high vantage point, out of the wilderness now, from the Lord's high vantage point, we know that God sits high and he looks low. So, would that not be tempting somebody to ask them, hey, I'll give you this when it already belongs to them? That's really like absurd, and it's an insult to one's intelligence. But see, a lot of times people will come forth with the dumb stuff. People will go and try to cloud your head, make you think that they're doing you a great favor. But then, after you take inventory, Because remember, after the Lord was hungry. The Lord was had just went through his detoxification period. The Lord had cleared his mind. Cleared, not saying that his mind was cloudy or anything like that, but God puts us through things to show other people that it can be done. The Lord walked this earth to show each and every last. He walked this earth in the flesh. Every now and then he would use his spiritual powers, but most of the time he was operating in the flesh. So he would walk this earth in the flesh to show each and every last one of us that this can be done. When he was on Calvary and the pain becomes so excruciating to him, and he was asking his Father, Lord, let this bitter cup pass me. Said, Lord, my God, why have thou forsaken me? So we know that sometimes the flesh cries out in pain. We know that the flesh cries out in frustration. We know that the flesh cries out in need. But what was the next thing he said? He said, not my will, but thy will be done. So sometimes we have to put ourselves aside. We have to look at things for what they are. We have to think about this temporary relief that we're asking for that's going to cause us eternal damnation. Now is not the time to sell out because somebody is offering you something that, first of all, don't even belong to them. Something that you already have, something that is no benefit to you. And I'm more than sure that we have had friends or associates that say, here, come on in. You know, come on, smoke this cigarette. Come on, drink this liquor. Come on, do this. Come on, you know. Ain't nobody going to say nothing about you talking to this lady right here about, you know, about having a girlfriend on the side. But just say, wait a minute, I will know it. And then the minute you begin to exhibit addictive behavior, because that temptation of the flesh is so great, the minute we begin to forget about what it is that God, the assignment, that we're in the wilderness, that we're trying to work our way out of the wilderness, that we got to be proved, that we have to prove ourselves to God, that we have to humble ourselves, we have to accept some things. We have to know and let God know what is in our heart, because there's so many dark and empty things in our heart. But if you, let's say, if you burnish something, then you burn out all of the impurities that is in there. A lot of metals have to be burnished in order for that pure 100% alloy to come out. So God wants to know what is in your heart. He wants to know what is in my heart. He wants to know those motivations that we those hidden agendas that we sometimes have concerning different other things. And this is the purpose of that wilderness. As I say, the wilderness is a proven ground for the Christians. And each and every last one of us at one time or another in our life has went through that wilderness, have been out there in the wilderness, have seen that we don't know how we're going to escape from the wilderness. But we must. And at the end of a fast, if you have a fast for a long amount of time, at the end of that fast, I guarantee you, you feel better than you ever felt in your whole life. Why? Because, you know, you're going to go through some discomfort as your body repairing itself. You know, you're going to have a foul taste coming from you. Your skin is going to be oily. All of these things, but I'd rather have temporarily oily skin and be healed on the inside than not to allow myself to be healed. And if you notice, the Lord would just constantly tell us, and constantly as he sojourned on this earth, go to different people and travel from land to land and ask people, do you want Do you want to be made whole? So sometimes when we get these healings, we got to want the healing, not because somebody else wanted for us. We want to have to want these things so that God can get the glory out of these things. So let me move right along. I'm trying to come up out the wilderness, y'all. I mean, this is a hard thing to do. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Now, hold on. A few minutes ago, Satan was just soliciting the Lord and say, wait a minute, now hold on. One, you know, if you bow down to me, I'll give you this. If you bow down to me, I'll give you that. But see, the Lord is putting things in their proper perspective. Now is not the time for any one of us to go for the wild card. Now is not the time for us to come this far and run back into the wilderness. I don't know about you, but it's time for me to make an exit out of that wilderness. The only way I'm going to make an exit out of my wilderness, and that's if I submit myself wholeheartedly to God and His Word and His Son. And it's a lot of us in there, whether we know it or not, there's plenty of company in the wilderness, but this is an individual thing. And so the final verse that I'm going to read to you tonight is that, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Well, we know that the word says, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And he came at the Lord strong. He came at him with scripture, as some people do. He came at the Lord through absurdity, which some people do. He came to the Lord with arrogance, as some people do. But the Lord stood his ground. The Lord, every area that Satan come at him, the Lord rebuked him. It is written. And if you notice, it was there an exchange of scriptures where the knowledge of Satan, he said, anybody questioned, any challenged, if thou be the Son of God, he said that several times, if thou be the Son of God, make these, you know, commanding, not asking. So we have to be careful. We don't know where our wilderness begins, and we don't know where our wilderness ends. But if we are to humble ourselves, would God say that if we would humble ourselves, you know, and turn from our wicked ways, you know, we're here from heaven and here healing our land. Okay, there go that humbleness. You can't be an arrogant Christian because, first of all, you have to submit yourself to the glory of God. So, my brothers and my sisters, I can't speak for you. This word this evening, it kind of like tore me up because I know that I've been in the wilderness, but God gave me the answer this night on how to get out the wilderness. I got to humble myself. I got to prove myself. God got to know what is in my heart. And then, most importantly, I got to die to the flesh. And he got to know. These are sureties that God has to know. He has to know if I will keep his commandments or not. So may God bless you, and may he ever keep you, and ask the Lord to help you to navigate through your wilderness. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. What an awesome, mighty word, powerful word on tonight. The wilderness, the proving ground of Christians. And yes, there is wilderness experiences that we all must go through to show ourselves strong in the Lord and show the Lord that we are truly being doers of his word, and we do not have hidden agendas or motives, that we are trying to fulfill our God purpose. And so sometimes he has to take us through the wilderness to check us out, to check our hearts and our minds and our spirits and our bodies to see if we are really trying to be doers of His word and not just hearers only. So we thank you for that powerful word on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. As always, you bring a powerful word. And also that poem was excellent. So we thank you for the poem. We thank you for the word that God gave you for us on tonight. So we're going to close out in prayer on tonight, as we always do. I'm asking the listeners to go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, again, we come to say thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for who you are. We know that you still watch over your word to perform it in the lives of your saints and your people for your glory. So we thank you for your word through your man of God on tonight, through Deacon Marvin Cox. We pray, Lord, that it was a blessing to someone that was listening on tonight. And most of all, we pray that someone that was not saved now can open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved on tonight, that they will come to know their God purpose, and they will walk in and live and fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory. Is our Father, if you will that we should see tomorrow, we pray, Lord, that you will move by your Spirit in every door, in every church that's open in Jesus' name. Use each vessel that's going to bring your word on tomorrow to the saving of many souls, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, know that God loves you tonight. Know that I love you too. But God loves you with the unconditional love that He has, a agape love. See, we have a certain type of love that man, it cannot touch the love that God has for us. So we thank God for who He is. We thank God for loving us in spite of ourselves. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Continue to be a doer of God's word and not a hearer only. Continue to let God prove you as you go through your wilderness, as you are proving the proving ground as of you being a Christian for God's glory in the earth today, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Good night.